Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
In this corner, a charismatic representative from the great state of Texas. In the other corner, boxing way out of her class, it's a Methodist minister from St. Paul, Minnesota.
You're a pastor, right?
Well, this is Wretched Radio, a hearing that was supposed to be about government fraud and waste in the great state of Minnesota. Oh, Minnesota, what happened to you? Featuring Governor Tim Walz and the Attorney General Ellis. For some reason, they toted in a Methodist minister from Hamlin Methodist Church in St. Paul, Minnesota. Go to their website if you want to see a glorious, historic Protestant church with magnificent stained glass. That would be the place. I've driven by it a gazillion times. It's magnificent. And every single Methodist who put their hard-earned money into building that church, no doubt spinning in their grave like a lathe. This woman was brought in with Governor Walz and Attorney General Ellis to discuss fraud. Take my word for it, she didn't. All she did was talk about anecdotes. People that she knows who have been supposedly terrorized by ICE and how horrible this is. And anybody who was sitting in that hearing should have been scratching their head saying, what are you talking about? Furthermore, it was argument by anecdote. Be on the lookout for this, because if an individual doesn't actually have facts, data, or dare I say, science, then what do? They bring out stories. They tell somebody's story. No names. Nothing legal to back up these claims. Just this person was treated like that. That person was really scared. These children are afraid that their parents are going to be taken away. Now, whether they're true or not, I don't know, but that's exactly the point. Argument by anecdote is a very lame way to present one's case. But then at the very end of her, it was about 3 minutes long, she actually decided to quote a Bible verse.
Jesus teaches us in Matthew 25, whatever you do for the least of these, you do unto me. History will tell its story about us, but long before then, our own souls will know whether we stood with them or turned away. No nation can build a true future on the terror of its own people.
Okay, once again, mingling ICE. But did you hear the Bible verse that she quoted at the very beginning? It's being quoted a lot these days.
Jesus teaches us in Matthew 25, whatever you do for the least of these, you do unto me.
Context, context, context. That was her closing salvo. Enter the representative from the great state of Texas. I looked up his church. It appears that he goes to it's a very large church. It would be considered Orthodox with its statement of faith. It is a pastor and a pastor's wife. They believe in healing, so they aren't my evangelical tribe. Nevertheless, it would appear this particular representative, he's learning his Bible and understanding biblical hermeneutics, which includes context, context, context.
Now recognizes Mr. Cloud from Texas.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you for holding this hearing. This hearing was designed to be a hearing looking into the massive expansion of some of the social programs and the
what happened to that
fraud that was contained therein. But Reverend Tolgard, I was struck by part of your opening statement because you invoked Matthew 25, and that's a scripture we see tossed around a lot up here, but often without context. And so I went and got my Bible and thought we'd dig into Matthew 25 for a minute. The scripture you invoked was Matthew 25.
Before we get into Matthew 25, have you noticed? Wait a second. What's that smell? Oh, yeah, it's the odor of hypocrisy. When a Christian quotes their Bible in support of a political position, that's Christian nationalism. When an way in over her head Methodist minister from St. Paul invokes the Bible, to apparently, I guess her argument was, therefore, ICE shouldn't exist. No problemo. Why don't those same people call her a Christian nationalist? Just asking back to the representative.
35 through 40, it ends with this. It says, then the righteous will answer to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did to one of those brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did this to me. I would ask you, who's the you in that passage?
Well, the passage answers the question. You, that you've done it to these brothers. First of all, the recipients would be these brothers of mine. The representative is asking the right question. To whom is this salvo, or at whom is this salvo aimed? Individuals or government?
Thank you for your question.
Sorry. She has no idea. No idea the context. Or she didn't consider that. It's like, hey, there's the gotcha verse. Let's just throw that one out with my purple stole.
You meaning all of us, the followers of Christ.
Followers of Christ, right. In Matthew 24:3, it says, after Jesus was sitting on the Mountain of Olives and the disciples came to him privately, and then they asked him, that began this whole chapter. And now, what Christ didn't say was to lobby your government. He said, if you have, you give. That's the general biblical principle here. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 gives us probably the best scriptural understanding of what charity is. It said,
give from your heart, you individual, moved by the grace of God, the good news that Jesus died for you, a sinner, therefore motivates you to do what? To return the love, to return the kindness, to return the sacrifice. That's Christian giving. That's Christian charity. It's from the individual, from the heart. Not from the government and not under compulsion through enforced taxation.
As each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Would you say that taxes are under compulsion?
Taxes are not my area of expertise, but I...
But are they given under compulsion? Do you pay your taxes?
As a U.S. citizen, I pay my taxes.
Yes, that's because what happens if you don't?
We don't have the services that we need to support our...
What happens to you personally if you don't pay your taxes?
So rich. This woman is so steeped in liberal ideology. It's not about the clear answer to the question. She's sensing, hey, wait a second. If we don't have taxes, then we can't have bloated social programs that a lot of people take advantage of in the state of Minnesota. She finally sort of gets there, took some coaching.
You get in trouble. I would say that's under compulsion. So if we're talking about what charity is, I'm always amazed in D.C. how much of we get to define our personal worth as a politician or statesman or whatever you want to call us by, how much of other people's money we give away. And so there's certainly a place for a social safety net potentially, but the idea that Matthew 25 is kind of used as a blanket statement is, matter of fact, the parable that it gives right before that scripture that you go into is the parable of the talents, where
if she didn't know the context, it had to be like pulled out of her, the context of Jesus' descriptor of those people who bear fruit in keeping with repentance. We visit those who are sick. We take care of widows and orphans. We feed, we clothe. Those are the marks of a Christian. That's what Jesus was talking about. And he was speaking to people who were hearing him as individuals. The individual who is definitely born again does those things, bears those fruit. She didn't seem to know that. She thought it was a verse that supported government taxation for the sake of wealth redistribution. Do we expect she's going to know the parable of the talents?
You see someone, a business owner, go away, and he leaves three employees in charge and gives them each a bit of investment. And two of them turn their investment into a profit. The one that turns it not into a profit, he does nothing with it, just sits on it. What does he call him?
Two, three, four, five.
You're a pastor, right?
Yes, I am, sir. I don't have
that. He calls him a wicked and a lazy servant.
Sorry, that's grade school. That's a line you just don't forget. Because when you hear the master say to the individual who didn't work hard for his master, "You wicked and lazy servant," those are severe words that I would think pretty much anybody who went through any sort of Sunday school program would be able to quote. A Methodist minister from St. Paul, Minnesota? Not so much. We'll continue listening to this, not for the sake of torture, but for the sake of making sure that we are able to tag those who use the Bible to support unbiblical ideologies. Next on Wretched Radio.
As a Christian, at some point, you're going to be in a conversation about abortion. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's at Thanksgiving dinner, or maybe even with your own kids. And when that moment comes, you're either going to be ready for the conversation or you're not. Life is Best gets you ready. It's hosted by Scott Klusendorf, one of, if not the sharpest pro-life apologists in the world. This 13-episode series walks through every major argument you'll hear and shows you how to respond with clarity and compassion. You'll also hear from voices like Paul Washer and Dr. John MacArthur, bringing the weight of scripture to an issue the world wants to keep shallow. You won't find angry debate tactics or gotcha moments. No, this is thoughtful teaching that engages the mind and the heart, because the goal isn't to win an argument. It's to change minds and point people to Christ. Life is Best. All 13 episodes streaming now on Fortis Plus for free. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. masters.edu/wretched.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe? That just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel: a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and fully divine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, she started it. This is Wretched Radio, a hearing that went all biblical. Why? Because mysteriously, a Methodist minister from St. Paul, Minnesota, her name is Maria Tolgaard, she appeared with Governor Waltz, with Attorney General Ellis, presumably to talk about fraud in Minnesota. She used her time to simply attack ICE, quoting a Bible verse, and suddenly it was game on for Representative Michael Cloud of Texas, who took her to school, asking her questions she was clearly incapable of answering, totally out of her depth. And he continued to press. He was just relentless.
Would you say that someone who commits fraud is doing wrong?
We all are against fraud.
Right. Is fraud theft? Would you agree that that's theft?
Yes.
As the Eighth Commandment says, thou shalt not steal. Would you recommend that someone in your church go into debt to give an offering in your church?
No.
Okay, so we have a massive program of fraud that's being paid for by taxpayers, and it's not really us paying it. It's really our kids and our grandkids that are paying it. And yet we continue to see this massive expansion all under the taken out of context of what charity is being defined as. You know, it's interesting. I find it odd that the left continues to bring up Matthew 25, because at the very beginning of that, right before he goes in that scripture that we talked with, it says, Matthew 25, 32, all the nations will be gathered to him, and he will separate the people from one another as sheep and goats. He will put the sheep on his right and his goats on the left. And the king will say to those on his right, come in, you are blessed of the Father, take your inheritance to the kingdom. And those on his left, he will say, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You know, so I would caution those who begin to use Matthew 25 to do so in the proper context, understanding that we have multiple biblical institutions and they each have a purpose.
The context here is vast.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to submit the entirety of Matthew 25 into
that is just that is just awesome. Please make sure that before you accept a Bible verse, she's not the only one who's doing this. James Tallarico from Texas, from Austin, Texas, he is so quick to use that particular Bible verse. He's very quick to quote scripture. I don't know that I've ever heard him quote it in context. That is the key. So when you are in one of these conversations and somebody chooses to use the Bible to promote a liberal agenda, open up your Bible. I'm telling you, this will save you so many times. If somebody asks you a question, even about a Bible verse, where it's like, hey, well, what does that verse say? And you go, very simple. Read the paragraph before, read the paragraph after. Almost every time, it will give you the key to the interpretation of any verse that appears to be somewhat confusing. In other words, context, context, context. Let me take you now to another political speech. I'm sorry, it wasn't a political speech. It was actually the memorial for Jesse Jackson. Barack Obama appeared at the memorial. And I haven't heard Barack Obama speak for a long time because, well, he's doing plenty behind the scenes. I just don't hear him speak very often. But I honestly, I don't recall him having this particular accent.
We are living in a time when it can be hard to hope. Each day we wake up to some new assault on our democratic institutions.
That accent,
Another setback to the idea of the rule of law. An offense to common decency. Every day you wake up to things you just didn't think were possible.
We'll just call it a Southern accent. Suddenly, Barack Obama has a Southern accent. You don't suppose he's playing to the crowd? I personally would find that a wee bit offensive, but what do I know?
Each day we're told by those in high office to fear each other and to turn on each other, and that some Americans count more than others.
Now, there's an R in others. I'm pretty sure of that. I don't know what happened to it at this particular speech.
And that some don't even count at all. Everywhere we see greed and bigotry.
Hold the phone, Henrietta. That was the comment that got a fair amount of press. That individuals who want to uphold laws are bigots. That would be an ad hominem. That is name calling. That is the argument. If you have the audacity to argue against what they perceive to be an injustice, that people who are in the country illegally should be allowed to stay and be given the same treatment as citizens, well, guess what? You just heard it. You're a bigot.
Being celebrated and bullying.
Oh, and you're a bully.
And mockery masquerading as strength.
Yeah, okay. That could be a fair point.
We see science and expertise denigrated while ignorance and dishonesty and cruelty and corruption are reaping untold rewards every single day. We see that. And it's hard.
I don't know what he's talking about, to be honest, but it's like, hold on a second here. Who are the science deniers? Last time I checked, that there are just two genders. Science affirms that. Yes, there are aberrations. They are typically called deformities. There are only two genders. That's science. Hey, how's about the science of embryology? What is in a womb that is a fertilized egg is a human being. We know that from science. Who are the science deniers? I'm not sure what, if it was a global warming. He was, I'm not sure.
To hope in those moments. So it may be tempting to get discouraged, to give in to cynicism. It may be tempting for some to compromise with power and grab what you can. Or
at the Jesse Jackson Memorial. I just read a statistic that should, I think, help you and me to make sure that we have our political priorities in place. The skirmish, it's just going to continue to be waged, and it is hot and it is nasty. But as Christians, I think we need to look a little deeper. We need to go to a different place. Why the divide in America? Well, it's because you've got two competing worldviews. It was a Barna survey that was done. Guess the percentage of Americans who hold a biblical worldview. I'll tell you 4%. 4%. Evangelicals, like 20-some percent of evangelicals actually hold a biblical worldview. The survey, they asked 58 questions. So this wasn't like, what do you think about this? It was pretty thorough. And what it revealed is the phrase that was used is faith is not integrated into their politics. So what do we see when we see bad politics? We see bad religion. In other words, if you and I would like to see a better America, not a horrible goal. If you and I would like to see people vote for better politicians who do indeed use biblical thinking to inform their policy making, the key is obvious. They need to have a biblical worldview. The question, of course, is how do you get a biblical worldview? Well, Paul tells us that unless you have the mind of Christ, you don't really have a biblical worldview. Oh, I guess you can adhere to it, but you can't even really understand the Bible if you don't have the mind of Christ. Your mind is still darkened. If we want politicians who use the Bible rightly, if we want politicians who use the Bible to inform their policy making, if we want a more moral country, what we need are more moral people. How does somebody become moral? It is through regeneration. You take a look at your calendar, you figure out how much time and energy and effort you put into the political realm. That's up to you. But what I would suggest to you, we need to be putting as Christians more, that's right, more effort into evangelism and building Christ's kingdom, which will endure forever, rather than this kingdom. Didn't say don't do any. I'm just saying we're Christians. We put more into that kingdom. Sunday school at Alpharetta Bible Church. We were going through Isaiah, and there's about 13 chapters, maybe 10 chapters. Every one of the great nations, Assyria, Babylon, they all fall. They come tumbling down. They just don't stand. But Isaiah was a message to us today. We need to remember the priority of kingdoms. We need to remember that we've been given our marching orders. Go and make disciples. Make the most of every opportunity and proclaim his excellencies. If politics has you weary, and I don't know how it can't, then maybe, just maybe, we need to listen to Isaiah. Let's focus more energy on his eternal kingdom, not this temporal kingdom. This is Wretched Radio.